Popcorn Culture is supported by Fiji Water. Okay, y'all, it is summer, and for me personally, that means it is finally the season to use the brand new boat, where, of course, hydration is key because it is super hot out there, and we will be doing that with Fiji Water because it really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through the volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as any other top two premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And gosh, soft, I love that descriptor because it is so exactly spot on. If you've ever drank Fiji Water, it is soft water to drink. And unlike some of the other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today for your next backyard party, hike, beach, pool, or lake day. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations. So if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you. And we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com. Through the Gryffindor is brought to you by the Potterless Podcast. Y'all know that we've read and reread this saga so many times, but if you've ever wanted to relive the experience of reading Harry Potter for the first time, then you should listen to Potterless. Potterless is a comedic podcast that follows the journey of Mike Schubert, a grown man reading the Harry Potter series for the very first time and chatting about it with various Harry Potter superfans, including, wait a second, is this the Super Carlin Brothers? Hey, that's us. Each episode features Mike pointing out plot holes, making often incorrect predictions, just wait for Ludo Bagman to come up, and basking in the glory of sassy characters. Speaking of basking in the glory, though, Mike himself is just a pure delight of a human being. We've had the opportunity to work with him on so many different occasions, including here on Through the Gryffindor. You must give him a listen. You will not be disappointed. Potterless has over 200 episodes that you can listen to right now, from discussions of the books to the movies to fan-made content, all of which brings such a brand new perspective to the wizarding world. Listen now by searching for Potterless wherever you get your podcasts or by going to potterlesspodcast.com. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Ben, let me just say, it's a good thing we don't have actual popcorn kernels on the set today.
Yes.
Because they would just be popping. Because I don't know what happened. We were out for a week and I don't think we turned the air off. I think you said you set it to a reasonable temperature.
I did the thing like where I was getting ready to leave the day before we were going to leave. We're shutting down all the computers. We're doing all the responsible stuff so that everything's good and safe. And I was like, okay, we won't be here, but we also don't want it to be scorching hot. So I was like, I'm going to raise the thermostat a few degrees so that we're not cooling a place that nobody's in.
Right. You don't want to be wasting that energy. But apparently what happened is at some point the power just clicked off and then it didn't, then that setting was gone. And so instead it just decided to greenhouse itself in here, which we have two very large sunroofs. So when I say greenhouse, I mean it.
Yes. And I mean, when we walked in this morning, it was a legitimate 90 degrees.
90 degrees.
Inside of a building.
It is sweltering. Like, literally, that's like, if you are watching us, normally there's a candle between us. It probably doesn't make that much of a difference, but I was like, no candle.
I refuse.
No candle.
On principle.
I will not have an open flame in the middle of this insane heat. So anyway, it's really hot.
It's really hot. Yeah. It's like indoors. It's like 85, I think, after like 6 hours of air conditioning.
Well, okay. So for lunch, we were like, maybe we'll take an early lunch. We'll all leave. We'll just let the air conditioning, you know, run for an hour while we're not there. Give it a nice, like, you know, let it cool off a few degrees while we're gone. We left. It was 85 and we came back and it was 85.
I know. It's
it
like,
didn't
what?
Change at all.
None. I know. I think probably the air conditioner is just on sheer overdrive right now in an effort to clean up. But yeah, it is some kind. Maybe it'll be like in the energy in today's episode. We'll either bring it or we'll be like sleepy.
You know?
Or maybe
it'll be like a pressure cooker, just like, you know, it's like, you know, create boxes breed creativity, as they say.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting one about you, like a factoid people might not know, is that you oddly actually like, after like a hot summer's day, getting into your hot car.
This is true. I know this is like one of those things I didn't know. It's like one of those things you don't know is weird about yourself because it's normally like a by yourself activity.
Exactly.
And of course. Like, everyone loves that feeling when they get in their car and it's like so cozy and super hot, and
people
I always remember talking about this one day and everyone was like, what, you like that? I was like, oh no,
I mean it has to be something that more people than just you do enjoy. Like there's no part of me that thinks it is exclusively a you thing, but like, when you get in, do you like, will you actually like wait a moment before starting the car? You bask in it
a little bit. And this is a real problem with me and Beth. So like, a lot of times though, it's because like, if it's like, you know, 75 degrees outside, like that's pretty reasonable weather, but like, it's still like, there's probably enough sunshine to make the interior of your car like 85 degrees or something.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so it's not like blazing. On a day like today, I'm betting it's pretty uncomfortable.
Okay. I was going to say, like, it would not surprise me on a day where it's like 95 degrees outside. It would not surprise me if it was a legitimate 115 in your car.
In that case, I'll probably be starting it right away. But like, there are on almost any scale of this with me and Beth getting in the car, like normally when we go somewhere, like I'm driving and if we're all sitting in the van, I'll just be sitting there like plugging in like my iPhone or, you know, setting up something else at the dashboard.
You're
that
doing
I
all
want.
Your fiddly bits.
And Beth would be like, start the car. I'm like, what? Oh, sure. Okay. And she's like, because she cannot stand to sit in that like still air in the car. Like, some kind of movement needs to be happening. And I'm just sort of like, it doesn't bother me like at all. And it's like, mostly if I'm doing it like right away, it's because I've remembered that it's going to bother Beth. And I'm like, oh yeah, I should start this for her.
So it's more of like a consideration.
Definitely not like, oh, I'm dying, I got to turn this on right away. Yeah.
Well, you know what's also kind of interesting about this though, is that like, I've been doing some like sauna-ing and you have as well, I think this year. And I think what's fascinating is like, a lot of times like we'll call ahead and ask them to like raise the temperature of the sauna to like 150 versus like the standard like 125 or like 130. And it's like, if I step into a sauna and it's like 130, I'm like, it's kind of chilly in here. You know, it's like, well, what the heck? You know, I asked for 150. But then any other instance where you're in that same exact temperature, it's just like, well, this is too much.
Yeah, you're right. You're like, normally if you were just outside and it was 150 degrees, you'd be like, I'm dying. But if I could arrange ahead of time to sit in a room and pay money for it, that's this temperature, I'd be okay with it.
Dude, this is the central basis for mentally planning, or even just like what your mental state is during any activity. Like, you and I actually talked about this very discussion a little bit at the gym this morning. And it's something that I think we can kind of like touch on because of our lake week that we just concluded, where you and I just spent an entire week at the lake with our entire family.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were out doing all sorts of shenanigans and stuff. But one day in particular, while we were out there, we got Addy down for a nap. And so it was me and Alice, brother-in-law Mike, and sister-in-law Sammy. And it was just the four of us on the dock, and we were like listening to music and stuff. And we like, at some point in time, decided we wanted to do flips in things.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something that like, I mean, I'm sure I've told the story before, but like, when I was in high school, my senior year, I was like out of Cape Springer High School's lone member diver of the diving team.
Yeah.
And it was, it was kind of something where the swim coach caught wind of the fact that I had some board skills or whatever.
She heard on the street.
My street diving.
Yeah.
And so this was something though that like growing up, I would go to the pool every single day in the summer through like my middle school and like early high school years and stuff like that. And I would just go and I would live on the diving board.
Right.
And so it was like, I was never doing diving the way that diving, as we will see, like in the Olympics or as like a diving competition is meant to be done.
Right.
But it was something where it was kind of like, yes, I have the ability to jump off a board and do like a flip in the air and then land in the water. And so they were like, good enough for us. And, you know, I think in our entire like region, we held the district and regional meet at the same time because there were so few people to compete. And everybody who competed at the district regional event made it to states.
Yeah. It's like, I think they were trying to take advantage of some, I'm sure what was happening was that at any given swim meet, there was just an entire section of points up for grabs for the school if that, you know, went into the overall score for the team if you, you know, had diving points.
Right.
And they were just like, you know what? Even if we just have one person and he can do anything, that's still more than the other schools.
Exactly,
so
yes.
You can get, I don't know how many points you would get for your, you know, whatever series of dives you would do, but it, like, you know, that is a ton of points that is just being unclaimed otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I can't remember if it made us go from like third to second, second to first or whatever, but I do know that the points that I scored at those events actually did contribute to lifting the entire team from like one placement to another.
Right.
Because I had the extra points that got like tacked onto the swim team's total, which ended up being really cool. But the long story long there is that I got to the state meet. There were 21 divers total. After night one, they had to cut it down to, you know, 20, which meant that I wasn't competing in day two.
You were the one.
I was the one.
Oh, man.
That was eliminated. But the point is, though, is that like doing flips and stuff is something that I have always mega enjoyed doing, especially like in unusual places.
Yes,
because while maybe I can't do it in an artful or graceful or perfectly like timed and landing and splash and all that type of stuff kind of way, I do like landing in the water and having performed whatever the movement is.
I mean, typically if you are with like a group of people and you can get on a platform and do a backflip, as ungraceful as it might be, that's still probably more backflips than anyone else there can do.
Yeah. And I think that's maybe is like a small piece of like the party trick that I've discovered, is that it's like, it's not like what I'm doing is that extraordinary, but I think that it was kind of like, okay, there have been enough locations, enough places I've been in where it's like, but no one else here can do it. So it gives me like a novelty.
The thing, the crazy thing about backflips too, is that like, they are, it is a 100% like courage based like thing.
Yes.
Like they are like, once you do it, they're like easier to do than front flips.
I say this to people all the time. Like, and so that was like part of like even the story I was going to tell, is that like, you know, Alice was like, why don't you do a front flip? And I'm like, front flips are hard. I'm like, back flips are easy.
Yeah.
Like tilt backwards, huck your knees up to your chest and you've rolled.
Right.
Like that's it. Like you have done a backflip. Like you don't even need that much like air or anything to do it. And, you know, so, if, I mean, of course, we told like the myriad of stories throughout the years where I, you know, did like the backflip from like 50 feet or whatever and landed very firmly on my back in water. Or I think we had a across the street gymnast neighbor who I had like learned to do standing backflips on the ground. And I was like, oh, I'm going to show off for the gymnast neighbor.
Hey, what's up? Look what I can do.
Look what I can do. And I got way overconfident. Didn't do the tuck at all. Landed like with my chin, like face full of dirt. Like, I mean, literally just grass, dirt, everything in my teeth, bloody nose. It was so embarrassing.
Oh no.
But the big thing that happened while I was doing like my diving situation was, I remember I would drive up to either Virginia Tech or Radford University, where actually both of us went to college, but those two schools.
Yeah.
And the Virginia Tech dive coach was there coaching all of us in that same district regional thing.
Right.
And
yeah.
Most of the other like, you know, like guys in my category who were competing were all cheerleaders.
And so like tumblers
and stuff. Yeah. So they all had like a lot of like acrobatic experience, even if they were also kind of like new to the sport of diving. But the trick that I always struggled with through all my diving board years is called a gainer.
Yeah.
And the gainer is basically like running forward off of the surface and then you do a backflip, like, but you're facing forward.
Yeah.
So you're not like starting facing backward. It's like, but it's such a weird kind of like, this is difficult to me. Like this requires like a lot of mental fortitude because it feels like as you've stepped off your surface, you're actively like pulling yourself back towards it. And so that thought, that worry of like striking your head on the diving board or the rock or the dock or, you know, whatever you're jumping off of is so real that like, it's hard to mentally overcome this task.
Plus it's just like, it feels like you're going against like physics. Like how is it that you're going to make this work?
You know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I remember doing them off our friend John's like diving board or trying to.
Yes.
And like, I could successfully do it, but like not in a graceful way.
And
you know, I feel like I was like sort of like a little flaily in the air, but it was like, I went off, I did the flip, I landed, but I don't think it looked good ever.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, and that's exactly where I would say I was like, even like when I would go to these diving practices, I remember the coach being like, okay, well, like we're going to practice not with like a running, like start, like with like the entire process, but stand on the end of the board, like step forward, you'll do this motion and you can do it. And I was like, there's no way. I've tried to do a gainer. Like, I mean, I kid you not, if I were to say I've tried to do it 1,000 times, I don't think it's an exaggeration.
Wow.
Like, I mean, that's how many like goes at it I've done in my life. Just like, you know, and the problem is that every time you get it wrong, you're effectively probably back flopping, if not working your way far enough around to just belly flopping.
Right.
You know, so it's like this, I mean, not that like it's that painful, but it's like, you know, there's not no stakes involved with the repeated efforts.
Yeah.
So I remember going, I did it at practice a handful of times. And then I remember actually at the district regional event, I did it and like successfully landed in the water with a rotation. And then I tried it at states and just got like just couldn't, like I lost the, I'd probably done 4 of them ever.
Right.
By the time I'm doing it in front of this huge crowd at states or whatever. And I totally backflopped, which is probably in part why I was eliminated.
On
that one. And that being said, is that like even that movement for like divers at that stage, like most of them were involving like a double spin or a twist involved in like
the maneuver. Yeah, they weren't just like trying to do the flip. It was like the flip with some twists.
Yes, 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 yes. Like a front
land
flip.
And a dive.
Yeah. Like a 1.5 or something. Like, goodness, no way. Couldn't do it. But so for whatever reason, over the weekend, we were having so much fun. Just like, you know, we would stand on the stand up paddle boards and like do like little flips off of those. We were doing them off the dock. We were doing them off the back of the boat. And at some point in time, somebody was like, "Ben, do a gainer." And I was like, "All right, like, you know, like,
I'll try.
What the heck?" You know, like, but like it was one of those moments where I was like, I'm in the zone, you know, I got this. And I like went and ran and jumped off the dock, which was like, you know, 7 inches off the water. Like
right.
It was like, it was not like a tall leap.
Not a
lot of room to really like, you know, get the full rotation. And it like, it went, like I did it. And then I did it like 12 times.
Wow.
And man, dude, it was the best feeling ever. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, I am having, this is how I got here though, is that it's like when you're stepping into the sauna, it's like you're expecting it. Like, you know, you're like, you know what to anticipate. And I feel like as I was doing this, it was like, I was getting so comfortable that I was feeling so good about it that no part of the physical aspect of the actual exercise that I was doing was registering to me until the next morning when I woke up and like my entire body was sore.
I'm sure, because like, you know, whipping your body around and like doing like full flexing and stuff like that, I'm sure it was a bunch of muscles you're not accustomed to using.
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, completely. I mean, it was like, you know, you would have thought that I had done like 3 hours of yoga.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this was like last Friday. It's Monday as we sit here in these chairs. And like my core is still sore.
Wow.
Me. And I'm like, man, that was so cool. Cause I didn't get tired once. Like at no point did I feel like I needed to take a break or was out of breath. I was just like, this is great. And anyway, so that was a long story long, but I mean, it's such a good feeling though. I feel like when you hit the zone or like when you're genuinely having fun doing something, it's like none of the pain matters. None, like you just don't feel it.
Right.
It's just not there.
Right. Do you think the question is though, now that you like, now that you've done it, could you go back and do it again, or would you need to be like in the zone again?
I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea. I feel like I can still float it. I can still feel it floating around inside of my mind. Like I feel like the muscle memory.
Your sleeping
is like,
mind has been awakened.
My sleeping mind has been awakened.
Exactly.
And now it currently knows the name of Gainer.
Yeah.
But it also makes me like, I'm like, I think there's a piece of me that like wants to go back to the water today. Like, I'm like, should I just go after work? Should I just make sure I could still do it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I should probably just go verify.
Right. Yeah.
That this wasn't a fluke, but I have video evidence and
yeah,
it's
so
like,
yeah, we know you did it.
Nothing has made me want to return to social media more than like, this was something where it's like I always talk about like the idea of like, you know, people traveling to far-flung places in the world. It's like, did you want to go there or did you want the photo in front of the iconic location?
Right.
This was one where it was like, I wanted to go there.
Right.
I wanted this for
I
me.
Wanted this for, I for always me. Wanted to do this.
I always wanted to do this.
I did it.
And it's, oh man, I feel like I've told everyone. Yeah. Like I walked in and people were like, how was the lake? And I was like, I did a Gainer.
Dude, okay, so on my own personal social media, like over the years, I feel like I've pruned it pretty good to the point where I'm like, oh, like at one point or another, you know, like when you get on at first, or at least when we did, there was like, oh yeah, if I know you, if I've met you at all, I'll just follow you.
Sure.
You know, just like, yeah, these are all the people I know. This is why I'm on this app or whatever. And then I feel like over time, it'll be like, you know what? I don't actually know you. I'm unfollowing you. You know,
sure.
We went to high school together, but like, I don't, you know, did we even talk then? No, we basically existed near each other for a while.
Right, right.
And
right,
so
right.
Those people have all been gone. All gone.
Okay.
But so there, over the past, like just the last 2 days, I have been on social media and like a person popped up and I was like, no, I can't even believe I'm still following you because they clearly would have fallen into this category.
Sure.
But what has happened is that they used to be fairly active and went completely dark for like 5 years and just like are on a trip and are like posting on Instagram. And so I guess they're at the top of my feed now. And I'm like, I forgot you existed, but here you are. Wow. Let me remember who you were at all. And that was my experience yesterday morning.
Okay,
laying
okay.
in bed. I was like, wow, I totally forgot about you. But cool. I guess you're doing good or whatever.
Right.
Then this morning I was on Facebook for like, I don't know, also maybe the first, probably because we just got back to the office and I was just clicking through all the things to make sure everything was like, you know, good.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, you know, someone's stories pop up and I'm like, I think it was like one of your friends from high school. I was like, oh yeah, how's this person doing? And I was clicking through their profile pictures and like the same person from Instagram popped up in their profile picture. And I was like, what? I didn't even know those people knew each other.
What is even going on?
What is going on? How have I completely forgot about this person and now twice in 2 days they're in front of my face again?
Weird.
It's unbelievable.
Do you think it's a sign?
No, not really. But no, it's no. Like, yeah, what would the sign be?
I have no idea. What if we were like walking to our cars after work today and like you passed them?
I would be like, I would absolutely stop them.
Like, hey, I gotta like, tell you,
whoa!
This is the weirdest thing.
Yeah, something's going on.
Right. But we are supposed to like
catch up or something. That would be like, yep, I got some signs. We gotta talk. I don't know about what. How's life? What are you doing?
Do you do that when you run into people? Like, are you ever like, dude, we should grab lunch sometime or something like that? Like a, you know, hey, we haven't seen each other, but we should totally catch up. And then like it never happens, but it's like, but you said it.
I think okay. So for a while, yes.
Okay,
but I think it. This is like one of those things in that it happened enough times, or it became like kind of like. It developed into like a trope in my mind where like when people say like, let's get lunch, like it occurred to me like that it never happens.
Yeah. But
like, it's just a polite thing to say.
It's a polite thing to say, but like in the moment, it's like, I do mean it, but
yeah.
which I think is like, what's strange about it. It's like while I'm standing there, I'm like, dude, if I was free right now, like we could go do it, you know, like right now.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think what's difficult is it's almost like, it's like, man, you know, we haven't talked for a long time. So for me to like allocate like, you know, like a suction out of the day, it's like, we didn't mean to run into each other. That was just sort of like by happenstance. Like,
yeah.
I think I like talk myself out of it, but then I'm like, in that moment, I meant it. So like, does that mean like, if you run into those people, it's like, you do want to catch up with them.
It might, but it's like, I think what this is like, when I run into these situations, like because it happened enough times where I was like, yeah, let's get lunch. And I'm like, I'd love that. Sure. You know, and then nothing happens.
Right.
To me, it's like if someone says that, what they're really saying is I don't want to get lunch. Oh. You know, like, I don't want to, like...
So now, like, you, like, read it the exact opposite.
It's, like, the exact opposite. So now it's, like, I wouldn't even say it, even if I wanted to, because I'd be, like, well, then... Because clearly you've had all the exact same experiences as me, and if I say that to you, you'll be, like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. He doesn't actually care about seeing me again or anything like that.
Right, but, yeah. You know. So a third-party observer of this conversation, you have two people walk up to each other, like, man, great to see you. It's been so long. Hey, we should grab lunch sometime. Yeah, that sounds good, man. All right, well, sounds good. We'll connect soon. And then those few people walk away. Third-party observer is looking at it like, dang. Can't believe I just witnessed that battle.
I know, right? Like, wow, those people are never going to see it. They're not interested in each other at all.
Should I call the cops? Or I mean, they hated each other,
they
right?
Hate, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But so it reminds me of a way back early episode of Popcorn Culture where we talked about the butt crack.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
I remember the butt crack.
The butt crack is the rule that if you're delivering someone bad news, everything you said before but doesn't count.
Yeah. People do this on reality TV shows, yeah. I feel, all the time.
All the time. And I mean, it's like a useful thing because a lot of time, like on dating shows, they got to break up with someone. So they'll be like, I just, you know, I love spending time with you and it's been so great to get to know you. And like, you connected with me in a unique way. But
yeah,
it's like everything before that didn't count. That was all just like the dressing.
Right.
And so it's like, to me, once the butt crack was pointed out, like, it's like it became such a rule in my brain that like I do not use it ever because to me, it's like, no, everything before the butt doesn't count. And the person I'm saying will know that. And it's like, that's not true. Sometimes it's like all the things like it's like you. I have made this rule in my brain and now my brain adheres to it. And it's like, before the butt doesn't count. And it's like, that's not true. The stuff before the butt can count and you need to say the stuff after the butt too.
I know what you mean too. Yeah. But the thing in my mind is almost, when it comes to like butt crack related situations,
yeah.
I mean, especially in like reality dating and stuff, I tend to feel like all of the things that they're saying before the butt, the reason that they're saying all of them is that it's like them trying to defend why they have like been so willing to be so like interested for so long. Like, it's almost like, no, I wasn't being fake. Like, we did have a genuine connection and like things were going really well and then they weren't anymore and now we are where we are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
I mean, if you're like the hero of the show or whatever, if you're the bachelor or bachelorette who's doing the dumping, like, you need to save face because the audience still has to be rooting for you.
True.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Until it's not.
Yeah. Boy, it's amazing how often the audience turns on the hero.
I know. Yeah. It seems like for a while there, it was just like every season.
I know. Maybe, really. Whew.
Maybe that's why we stopped watching.
Maybe. Yeah. It was like, do I even want anyone to get together? I don't even know. What am I rooting for anymore?
I know. That's the worst part about all dating shows, truly, though, is like when you get to the stage in it where it's like in the beginning when all the drama's happening, you're like, can you just get rid of this person so that we can actually enjoy our show? And then that person leaves and then everything starts to actually get serious. You're like, this is kind of boring.
This is boring.
Watching them like meet the parents and everybody just likes each other and everything. Yeah. It's like now we're just watching an actual relationship unfold. This is why all stories end with and they lived happily ever after, because the happily ever after is really not that interesting.
Not that interesting. Yeah.
It's how you get there.
Exactly. Exactly.
That you want to see.
Yeah. You keep thinking like they got to get rid of that person.
Right.
But
then
they don't. But then when they do, it's less fun.
Yeah. But I do follow your meaning here on the butt crack thing, because I think you're right. I think it's exactly like the like you want to grab lunch thing, where it's like it's almost like I've talked myself, because I'm the same way as you, like I've talked myself out of using it entirely. Like,
yeah.
It's like I will refuse to lead with a pile of compliments and then deliver bad news. It's like nope, we got to go like, and I'm bad at delivering bad news anyway. Like, I'm, you know, that is like a people pleaser's like worst dream.
Yeah.
is having to like be like, hey, listen, what I'm about to say is gonna suck.
Yeah.
like I don't want that. But I do feel like I've almost established this like weird, probably mildly out of character, like brass tacks relationship with having to do it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we have to talk about something tough, so I'm just gonna be point blank with you. Here
right.
It goes.
Let's not have any fluff or anything. The other thing about delivering bad news is that like a lot of times if you put a lot of like nice things in front, you're offloading a lot of like Velcro loops for them to like, you know, latch onto. A lot of times,
yeah,
you know?
that's a great way to describe it, like the little Velcro loops. It's like, yeah. you even said
like, you just said that. It's like, yeah, but I didn't mean that, I was just saying that.
It's like, it came before the butt crack.
It came before the butt crack. You know about the butt crack, right?
Yeah, now having a conversation about something else entirely.
Yeah, that was all just fun. I didn't mean any of that, I was just saying that because I didn't want you to feel bad, but clearly you do anyway. So I don't know what I thought was going to happen here.
That's the thing. That's the thing is that, like, especially, and I, and maybe this is like where, like, if it's more of like a assessing somebody's like performance inside of some capacity, it's like, let's talk about your strengths. Here's a couple of weaknesses. That's that. Let's continue to work on them together going forward. Like, so I think everything before the butt crack really matters when it's like sort of like a parting of the ways type situation.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if what you're about to say will basically make everything from the beginning like have no meaning anymore, it's like that's when it's kind of like, it doesn't matter how much you're capable of making me laugh, because what I'm about to tell you is that I'm not going to give you the opportunity to make me laugh anymore.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if you can make me laugh, because I won't.
Yeah, because we won't see each other. I won't be there.
Because I won't be there. Anyway, not that I've even had that many of those conversations.
No,
I guess probably in my actual life anyway, but in reality TV form.
In reality,
I've watched it happen a whole bunch of times.
Yeah. But so anyway, I don't really say, you want to get lunch?
That sounds good.
Even though I like aspire to have lunch with more people. All
oh,
the
do
time.
You?
Yes. Like, actually, this was like a COVID killer.
It
thing.
Was, yeah.
Yeah, like I had like you know, I was there was like a group at church I was going to, and I was like, you know what I'm gonna do is like over the next like 8 weeks, I'm just gonna try and go to lunch with like one different guy from this group every week. And it was like, all right, next week. Boom. Will, you want to get lunch? And I was like, absolutely, man. We had a great lunch. We went to Alejandro's.
Hey, good
and,
times.
You know, it was good times. And then next week it was like, no one leave your house for 6 months. And it was like, well, that was the end of that.
Yeah. This was such a good setup. Yeah. I know. Yeah, we had a dinner cool. like that, like right before it like went down. I think there was actually like news reports starting to break, and it was like, should we still go out? And it was like, I don't even know yet. I mean, it was still like super, super early, like March, like, you know, 9th or something.
Yeah.
It was like starting to, like, the storm was building. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh man. And then, like, you know, like 1 week later, it's like, okay. Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. That's the end of this thing.
Yeah.
Where was I going to go with it? Oh no. So no, but this is what I would love though. So if this is something you aspire to, maybe, just maybe, I can become your lunch date wingman.
Lunch date wingman.
Yes, because wingmanning is something that I genuinely, like, I mean, I can't say I was particularly good at, but I wanted to be. Like, I really, really, really badly, like, I was so, like, I think I was enamored with the thought of, you know, like, when you're, like, the, like, I don't know, like, 18, 19, 20 or whatever, like that image in your head of like 10 years from now at their wedding day, when I'm like clearly like the best man because I introduced them, it'd be like, I remember when I introduced these two, such good times.
Right.
You know, and it's like, not to brag, but you're all here because of me. It's like, right. You know, such a good opening line.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to be able to crush a best man speech because I did this now.
Because I did this thing.
I'm building stock into the future.
Right.
Not to mention, I think that I had like a huge amount of like worry about going and approaching people on my own behalf.
Right.
You know, it's like, I never like wanted to like walk across the room and be like, hi, I'm Ben. Would you like to talk to me for like 10 minutes and see how it goes? Which that probably wouldn't be a very good opening line.
Yeah.
There's probably something better I could say, but
I'll just start talking.
Yeah. But like, so, you know, my, like when it was on my own behalf, my charisma would dip to like negative 95.
Yeah.
Like just truly awful.
But for somebody else,
I'm like, hey, how are you? What's going on? Let's chat for a second. And then I'm going to be like, hey, my buddy over here, he saw you from across the way. Can we grab a drink? It'll be fun. I'll walk away after like 30 seconds and you guys will
and
be able to chat.
You guys will just be talking.
Yeah. And it'll be so fun. It'll be so great. And then someday we'll be able to tell this story and laugh about it. Look at us all together.
What chums.
I know. What chums. Good times. And I like, this was something I was like obsessed with, because I was like, oh, this is so great. Like I could go and make a complete fool of myself, but it's on behalf of my buddy.
Right.
You know? So it's like, even if I'm embarrassed, it's like, well, I was still trying to do a solid for them. So I'm all good.
You're good.
But you know, obviously now you like reach that stage of life where most of your friends have just sort of like settled down or gotten married or like whatever, made like life decisions about how they want to do things. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really get to do this anymore.
You don't get to wingman?
I don't get to wingman like at all. It's probably been like 13 years. it's been a while. But can you imagine? We were like, we're walking out to the cars. We pass by somebody that we both know. You guys strike up a conversation. I'm like, you too. Should get lunch someday.
Y'all should get lunch.
Y'all should get lunch. You should do it. You know what? There's a great spot right over there. You know what? I'm buying.
Let's put it in our calendars now.
Let's put it in. You know, why don't we do it?
Let's make it official.
We'll do it, all three of us. I'll start the calendar invite. What's your email? I'll put it in. What's my email? I'm not going to be there, but I have now sent the invite.
Yeah.
You guys have fun.
Yeah. This happens all the time.
If you need some conversation starters, just let me know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if it ever happens, Ben.
I know. Now something to look out for. I am now your lunch date wingman.
There you go. We can go have, we'll be having lunch with all sorts of people. Who knows?
It'll be great. Yeah. It'll be great.
Yep. Cool.
Transition.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. One of the most interesting aspects of running a business is that you're destined to wear more hats than you ever expected. In our case, the big question is, can you create a piece of content that somebody wants to see or hear? Like, that's challenge enough, right? No. You also need to be a bookkeeper, an HR manager, a marketing department, a graphic designer, and a web designer. That last one can be the weird barrier between having a great product, but just no good way to make it available to potential customers. However, that is the exact moment when Shopify steps in to save the freaking day. Shopify makes it easy, whether you're selling out of a garage or basement or have, like, you know, forklifts and stuff. My personal favorite feature, though, is the data. Wearing all of those different hats means when it comes time to make decisions about what products to offer next versus what isn't doing so well, that calls for information. And boy, does the suite of reports offer that from Shopify. Customize and export information in seconds from just about any perspective you could possibly imagine. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. Here's a good question. What does your self-care routine look like? Is it exercise, bubble bath, journaling, splitting wood, therapy? I don't know about y'all, but sometimes the things that make me happy are the things that I have the hardest time prioritizing. But it's also what makes me grateful for my family and colleagues who all know that therapy is one of my non-negotiables. Between work, home, and parenting, it's one thing I'm always sure I'm making a priority. And it's because it's going and putting in good sessions with a licensed counselor that makes me that much better inside of all of those other responsibilities in life. Because as hard as it is to make time for things that you love, it feels remarkably easy to fill your schedule with commitments you're less than enthused about. But learning to set good firm boundaries and that it's okay to simply say that you're busy even if the thing you're busy with is a bubble bath are skills that you can hone in on therapy. So never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/poppop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also worked to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the mourning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a Feather Snap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
All right, Ben, more lake stuff.
More lake stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we went to the lake.
Because we went to the lake and much happened.
It did. Yeah. So far we've talked about something that you weren't present for.
I wasn't even present for.
Which was maybe like the 3 hours that we were not together over like the past week.
Yeah.
So we got plenty of other stories.
Yeah. It wasn't really an activity I could have partook in, I think, anyway, because I was still on butt recovery.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's too bad.
Which, in case you're wondering, in the last spot we were standing because of said injury. It is tremendously better. Obviously, I can sit down again. So that's all good. Feeling much better. Probably just not like doing backflips off the dock better.
Right.
Yeah. Well, which is to say, I was in the water. We were doing fun things. I can move around just fine. I'm just not in the, I don't want to risk re-flaring it up before it's like good and healed.
Yes. You give yourself a little breather.
A little breather here. On that note, I will say that we did not, I abstained from water skiing on this trip.
You did.
Which was probably the worst part of the trip.
Oh, was it?
Was that I was not able to get out there and shred.
Yeah, oh, I know. I know how you like to shred the gnar.
I do, man. Yeah. I do. And we have a new boat that could have actually done it a lot better, I imagine.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because you got to water ski.
I did get to water ski, which, I mean, to be fair, was a battle in and of itself because, like, there was a whole situation where, like, we left the skis in the other boat, which was at brother-in-law Mike's house, which is being rented on Airbnb.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was unable to access their home out of fear of interrupting their guests who were staying at their home to get my skis. But then they came down midweek and, you know, we finally got everything. But then, like, the weather wasn't cooperating and then the lake was just, like, absolutely packed with people. And then it started pouring rain. And after the rain, it was like, I think it was actually still raining. And I was like, Jay, we should go.
We're going right now. There's no boats on the water. Who, you know, a little rain doesn't hurt.
No, actually, but that was the thing. We even went once before that.
Yeah.
We got in the water. I got up behind the boat. Everything was going well. And then we look up and a giant lightning bolt like parts the sky.
Yes.
And it was like, well, I'm getting out of the water right now.
Right now. And this was like we had all retreated to the house earlier in the day because it had started thundering and we had like literally, I was literally sitting there with like a timer, like for like 15 minutes.
Yes.
Cause we were all going to go like jump in the lake. And it was like, nope. And that had gone on for like hours, like nothing had happened. And finally we'd gone inside. I don't even know if we had like had food or something, but it had been like over an hour. The storm had clearly passed, but then it clearly hadn't.
Yeah. Then it was like, nah, I'm still here.
There's the lightning. Get out of the water now.
Yeah. But I got to do a little bit of water skiing. Got to like feel what it was like behind the new boat, which felt amazing.
Yeah. Did it pull you out of the water better than the other boat?
Well, I will say that when I got the boat, there was like this one feature that you could pay as like an upgrade, which is like the ski mode.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's so cool. It's like, you know, like a button you can press and it's supposed to give you like the perfect launch every time. And I was like, I want that, because like, you know, before it was just always sort of just like floor it,
yeah.
Like definitely SpongeBob learning to drive type of mentality.
Exactly.
And I got it all set up for you guys, because I've probably driven the boat the most, given that, you know, it's my boat. But I was like, you know, trying to give you guys like the tutorial, and it's like, should be this easy. And that was a really lousy pull out of the water. That took forever. Then we were just like, all right, let's just put it in regular mode. And that launched me. I mean, it was like, almost like came out of my feet, you know?
Wow. Yeah
it was like, okay.
Here we go.
This thing really moves.
Yeah. So yeah, you got out of the water and you did great back there.
Thanks.
No problems.
One thing, I don't know if anybody is like that familiar with water skiing, because it does feel like a sport that is just being massively eclipsed by like wakeboarding.
Yeah.
All of which are activities that I feel like, due to the necessary equipment involved, basically isolates just about everybody, because like you have to have access to the body of water and the boat and the equipment and the people and
have good weather.
And have good weather and have interest in doing it in the first place.
Right.
So it's a huge lead up to just being able to get back there at all. But yeah, so I've never been able to get up out of the water on one ski. So I get up on two and then I drop one, and then you get out there and you like do all your like slalom carving and stuff. But it was pretty fun.
Yeah. You're good. You're good.
Totally.
You were flying back there, man.
Totally zooming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I got out of the water and you were like, we're going like 33. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's fast.
Certainly faster than we've gone.
Yeah. The top speed on the last boat was 27. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's assuming probably that there's not someone being dragged behind it.
Probably assuming
full of other people in the boat too.
Which it usually was.
If you're water skiing, you know, everyone's going to be out there.
It's a spectator sport.
Spectator sport, right?
People want to see you fall.
Exactly. But I didn't get to ski, but we went to this big boat store one day, and even though we didn't have the adult skis there yet, they were selling some like kids skis.
They were. Yes.
And they were like in the shape. So the difference between like adult skis and kids skis, besides just the size difference, obviously, is that kids' water skis are designed to help them learn, so they are attached together.
Yes.
So that, or in this case, we're just sort of like one big board that came into like two sticks off the back.
Yeah. I mean, it was literally like, it's kind of hard to describe, but it was almost like a sheet of plywood that had like a U cut out of the middle of it. And so like 1 foot would go on either side of it.
Yeah.
But not as big as like a full sheet of plywood. That would be like ridiculously huge, but like, you know, smallerified in to scale.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah. So we got that, and thought like, okay, well, maybe Luke can give it a try, or, our niece Olivia, cause she was down there as well. And they were kind of like the big kids, and we were like, okay, maybe we'll try them behind the boat, you know?
Right, yeah,
we'll see. That'd be amazing. They're big enough to do it.
Right.
I think. And, not only that, we were like looking up like, you know, how did these particular skis work and stuff. And we saw like, there were videos of people just like, you know, like doing almost like training, like dragging the skis by hand through the water. Just like, here's what it'll feel like. And I was like, that's easy enough. We can do that. So, we're like on, there's like this tiny little beach area next to the house we were staying at. And we were like, we got like Luke and Olivia, and like they were sitting in the skis, and me or Tyler was like standing in the water, like pulling the rope as fast as we could. And like, they could kind of like skate across it for like, you know, a foot, but obviously we can't pull it fast enough to get them to ski. But like, just that sensation of like being on the skis and holding the rope was like enough. And then Nick and Nate were like, we want to try. And I was like, well, all right, whatever, you know.
Yeah, give it a go.
Give it a shot. So they gave it a few tries. And then we got out on the boat, and Olivia was like, I want to, you know, she was gung-ho. She went right for it. Got in the water first, and Tyler was out there with her, and we go to pull her, and like, I think, and like, she fell because, I don't know anyone who's ever gotten up on their first try.
No. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that you have to get like that confidence. You have to believe you can do it.
Yes.
And it's like, it just takes a few tries.
It takes a few tries. You really got to get the feel for it.
Not to mention, it's intimidating being out there in the water kind of by yourself. I mean, I guess Tyler was there with her, but like, you know, then the boat is loud.
Yeah, the boat's loud, and it's kind of like a whole production. Like, if you fall, it's kind of a production to get everyone resituated again. You kind of feel like you're holding everyone up, and
yeah,
all that. So she tried it once. She got back in the boat. So it was like, oh, had enough. That's cool. It's like, you know, just trying it, that's a huge step.
Right.
Yeah. So then I was like asking Luke if he wanted to do it, and he was passing. I was like, that's totally fine. Definitely, like, in your own time. But then Nate wanted to try it.
I know. I was like, holy cow.
And I was like, oh boy, well, let's get you back there, dude. So Nate's in the water now with Tyler, and they're like getting back there. And I mean, I was just so proud of him for even trying it.
Oh yeah.
At all. And we launched the boat off, and you know, he pretty quickly falls as well. And then we go back, and I'm kind of thinking like that was going to spook him. And we're like, you want to try again? And he's like, yeah. And we're like, okay. So that was pretty good. And
then, I was so impressed, so proud.
I know. I could not believe he was like willing to give it a second go. And we launch up again. And I would say, I don't know exactly what, like, how Tyler was holding on or trying to help him get situated, but like, he was able to at least be drug behind the boat for like maybe like 4 or 5 seconds, never actually getting up on the skis or anything, but still fell down
right
in the end, but got closer. Close.
I know. So progress.
Yeah. Progress was made on the water skiing front.
And dude, I mean, I've got to say though, that this is like a big thing. Like, you know, coming out of this particular vacation week, like, you know, we've been on vacations. We've talked about them on the pop in the past. Like, we've had some great trips sprinkled in, but they've all been great in like varying capacities, like in terms of like maybe even me trying to figure out like what I want out of a trip myself. And I think like one of the things that me and Allie were talking about this morning as we were just sort of like, you know, decompressing and being like, all right, well, we're back to work, you know, but like, you know, what was it about this trip that like made it so glorious? And like, as we were like reviewing the last 4 years of vacation, going back to like, you know, 2020, it was like in 2020, we were inside of the pandemic, which was like just in and of itself, its own rain cloud.
Yeah.
We were pregnant for our first try at that point in time. We went on a second trip. We were pregnant for our second time, which like also means that like during those trips, Alice was like, you know, encumbered by morning sickness and in those early stages and can't really partake in like, you know, the evening's libations and that type of stuff, you know? So there was like impact there. So then we, you know, those were the pregnancies that like didn't work out for us, unfortunately. But then that meant 2021, we were actively pregnant with Addison. So that meant, you know, that whole summer's worth of vacations, like Alice was full on in pregnancy mode.
Yep.
And then in 2022, it meant we had effectively like a newborn 6 month old child, which meant huge amounts of like attention and like, you know, everything sort of like you can never get too far from the responsibility, like without like needing to tend to being a parent.
Yep.
And so like it almost felt as though like this year was the year that like we were like, oh my gosh, like everything was like clicking, like the activities were happening like in a much more real capacity,
right?
Like the kids have sort of like crossed thresholds and they are able to like engage in like a lot of the stuff that like has kind of been the dream,
yes,
you know, for so long now.
Yeah, like they could actually like participate in the vacation rather than just like also be there.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Like I think I remember back when I was vlogging, you know, we had Addie for like 2 or 3 months and we got like a good snowstorm in Roanoke, and I remember it being like this big like emotional day for me because I was like, man, since like the moment me and Allie started like talking about having kids, the for whatever reason the big thing that I keep coming back to is like skiing, snowboarding, winter sports, winter activities, and maybe because I knew she was going to be born in October, it was going to be like, okay, then it'll be like right there on the horizon. But like when I think back to that moment, I'm like, Ben, you were like 3 months in to what was going to probably be the beginning of like years before any of that was really even like remotely on, and like to this day it still hasn't been
right
like remotely on the table, but it's like I feel like we're close, you know.
I mean, Addie, it's like she was back on the you got like a new like kind of tube,
yes,
to pull behind the boat, and she rode back on there sometimes. She
yes. So all the kids were doing like the big tube on the back, which I think is just good experience.
It is. It's just like, yeah, this is what it feels like to be behind the boat, you know,
in a completely safe capacity.
Completely safe capacity.
It's like a couch.
Yeah, yeah. It's like very, very good, and you can sit back there with a grown up and just feel safe, and like this is, you know, it's not that bad.
Yeah, go nice and slow.
Yeah, go nice and slow. Yeah,
it's nice flat water. Yeah.
Yes.
And then our little brother Tyler got on there, and he's like, "All right, Ben, let's see what this thing can do."
Oh yeah.
that's the best moment. It's like, all right, now we're steering left, right, center. On shore?
Yeah. I mean, he basically was like, just throw me off, man. I was like, okay.
If you've given me like complete and clear verbal authorization, then it's on.
It is on. I do remember like, yeah, when we were like, we had more like a regular or pull behind tube growing up at the lake. And like, you know, when you're like a kid, yeah, everyone just like wants you to go back there at all and just be able to experience it and have fun. But at some point you're like, you know, 16, 17, you get back there and it's like, how old are they? Yeah. Okay. Whatever. We're going to toss them.
Yeah. So at that point in time, Uncle Mike has decided he doesn't care.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, let's have some fun with these boys.
The objective is to just skip you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember spending many an hour on the lake getting skipped.
Yeah. And then you wake up the next morning, you're like, man, I'm sore.
Everything hurts. Why is that? I don't get it.
It's like I don't even know. Weird. I could be sore there.
Mm-hmm.
I bounced off my neck. What went wrong?
Weird. Let's do it again. Yeah.
Day two.
Yeah. Well, okay. So like, let's see. In addition to tubing though, dad got to do some fishing with the boys down at the lake. I think he was just living his absolute best life. I think even when he was teaching us how to fish, he was like, I'm really just doing this so that later I can teach your sons how to fish.
I think that's probably true.
Been the long game the whole time. Like, it's great that we can fish, but like, that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you had kids who I can teach the fish.
Right. Because he had to deal with us before and after the fishing outings as we were children.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. Like, that's where like grandparent or like aunt, uncle life can be so glorious, is that there's always that ability to like hand the responsibility back. But when you just get to go and engage and fully focus on the fun activity, it's like, then it's like, okay, now it's on. Like, I'll untangle the bobber as many times as we need to.
Exactly. Because you know what? When I'm done, I'm just going to go back over here.
Yeah. It's going to be totally fine.
I'm going to hand you right back to your parents. It's going to be good. But the dock next to our next to the house where the boat was like for the week was just like it was a really great spot, especially for like bobber fishing with like worms.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there was just like tons of little like bluegills and sunfish down there.
Yeah, I mean, you probably could have just taken a large net and scooped like three.
Yeah.
You know, like with a dexterous splash.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could have done, you almost would have been better off with a net than a rod.
Right. Yeah.
You just reach down and scoop probably. But, you know, that's not how you do it. That's how you fish. Not really.
No, it's not sporting at all.
Not sporting at all. So I always wonder about this. Like once upon a time we went like deep sea fishing at Holden Beach.
Yeah.
Good times. And I remember before you go out to deep sea, the guy running the boat's like, we got to go get the bait fish first.
Oh, I knew you're going this. Yeah.
And he just, we're going to rolls over to this little place. He takes the net, he throws it out. He pulls back, 100 fish into the boat at once. And I was just like, what was that?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Yeah.
That was insane. And it's just like, part of you wonders then like, If this is possible, because you didn't have to try to do it. He knew exactly where to go, exactly where to throw it, did it, clearly does it every day.
Right.
There's always 100 fish. Just like, if you can do that, what is even the point of fishing?
Yeah.
Like, why do people even bother with the rods if you can just go get 100 this way? You know?
Right.
Like, you if know? You like in a, it, it's like, it makes fishing such a weird sport too, because like you are actively like handicapped. It's like you're actively handicapping yourself in the name of doing it in a specific, a very narrow kind of sporting way.
Yeah.
To get the fish.
No, you're right. Like it's like, I think even the way that we've historically fished, it's like there are probably ways to catch bigger fish easier by doing less, but instead, you know, we've got like all the little fun, fancy lures and our ultra lightweight rods. And it's like, the goal is to catch like a medium sized bass and, you know, go through the whole process of, you know, getting it into the boat and not having your line snap or having it swim under a rock. And
yeah,
you know, it's like you feel like you're really like engaged with the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. It's been super fun bass fishing and whatnot. But anyway, so we're at the boys are down there fishing with dad and they're reeling in, you know, sunfish after sunfish, just having a blast.
Yep.
And I guess they, at one point, I don't know if they like hooked a bass or if it was just like a particularly large sunfish or something, but it's on the line and Luke is reeling it in. And as ever with fishing, it just like, you know, gets a good flick on the hook and lands back in the water. And that's the end of it.
That's it.
It's gone. And he comes in and he's just like, Daddy, I had such a big fish and it just, I was about to reel it in and then it just like, it got off. And I was just like, the one that got away.
Yeah, it's like,
he's like, what's that? And it's like, this is part of fishing.
He's like, I know. He's like, well, I wanted the big one because there was only like one of them and they're more rare. It's better.
Yes.
And I was like,
just like, yes, like, yes, you, exactly. Yeah, you get it.
You just describe like that. Is that like, yes, you go fishing this time and then for the rest of your life in search of catching that fish.
That fish.
Yeah.
You want that one fish back. And so it was so funny that Luke has been fishing like once, you know, and he like immediately experienced The one that got away. And it's just like, this is so fishing at its core. It's like, this is what brings you back.
I know.
He's
doomed.
I was like, oh, dang. Because he wanted it so bad. And then like for the rest of the week, like at any given point, you could look down and see like 20 sunfish. But like, also, if you stared for like 5 minutes, you would eventually inevitably see like one or two like bass just swimming down there. And you'd be like, oh, man, there's big fish right here under the dock.
I know.
And then if you really paid attention, every now and then like a carp would emerge as well. And they were massive.
They were big.
Like right next to the dock. And it was like, I mean, the kids would just lose their mind. They'd be like, oh, my God, daddy, get the line, try and catch it. And I mean. I can only imagine what it would have been like to have actually catch it. But like, you know, I would run over and I could see the carp right there. I can just drop the line right in front of them. And like, sometimes they would look at it and sometimes they'd like just skate right past and like, I can't even put it right in front of him and catch him, you know, like, I don't know what we're going to do to get him. But,
you know, Jay, they've learned to resist humans ever since the infamous carp girl.
Oh, my gosh. We had such a similar incident on this trip.
We did have a similar incident. We have our own carp boy.
Not necessarily a carp, but I mean, there was carp beneath our dock, but only like one real big one.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Not quite what Carp Girl fell into, which I would regard as thousands.
Thousands. Imagine so many carp that if you landed on top of them, you would hit the carp first and then the water.
Yeah. Anyway, that happened at physics camp when I was a kid and being extremely cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, but your story.
Anyway, yeah. So we're out there staring at the fish, looking for the carp as ever, trying to see if we can snag a glimpse of it. And over to the left, over by the boat, there's a whole separate happening going on where I just look over and there is like a swarm, a giant school of, I don't even know, I guess bluegills, but they look like different fish.
They did look like different fish.
They were like smaller.
I don't know what they are.
Minnows. Yeah. I'm just going to call for lack of a better word.
We'll call them minnows.
Minnows. Big, giant school of minnows. Just like tumbling and twirling all around. Clearly some sort of feeding frenzy is happening. Or maybe there was a big fish beneath them that I couldn't see.
Or maybe Marlin and Dory were asking them for directions.
Well, this is a freshwater lake, Ben, so probably not.
I was just trying to make a reference.
Yeah, jeez, yeah. Phew, come on, man.
It's a really good point, though. Yeah. I can't believe I went there.
Yeah,
just for the walls.
Mr. Saltwater.
I know. If you want to get technical about it, and you know I do,
yeah.
They would never survive in that environment. That's a very deep cut reference.
Like, oh my gosh, that was a very deep SCB reference.
Yes.
Anyway, big old school of minnows, just like a ball of fish swirling around. And I'm like trying to get, like, Luke's like looking for the carp. I'm like, Luke, look over here. Like trying to get him to notice it because it's just cool looking.
Oh, yeah.
Under the water. And like Nick looks over, but he gets so excited. He like misses a step and just like falls into the school of fish. Like off the dock, and it was just like, oh no. And like he was wearing a life jacket. He was falling into like, you know, 4 feet of water.
Yes.
So there's no real danger at all. But of course, no, it's always scary when suddenly you're falling in the water unexpectedly.
Yeah, becoming suddenly submerged, always scary.
Always scary, especially when what you fell into was a swirling school of fish.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, they were more afraid of him than he was of them.
Right.
They scattered in every which way. And then... like, you know, I pull him out of the water very quickly, and he dried off and calmed down, and he was fine for the rest. I don't think he was traumatized or anything. Like Carp Girl probably was.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Yeah, she's probably never been back to the water.
Can you imagine?
That'd be so funny.
Maybe she's
it wouldn't be funny, but
that's true. Yeah, that wouldn't be funny. But like maybe she's never talked about it, and that's why we can't discover her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Like she can't even bring it up.
Right, because you're like, surely she would have told somebody.
That surely.
Person, maybe that person's listened to the podcast or knows someone who has, and and everybody who listens to the podcast has informed all of their relatives about the potential discovery of Carp Girl.
Look, I mean, if you fell into a pit of carp, that's the thing that, you know, you bring up as stories. As an adult, it's a great party story.
It's a great party story. Not to mention, I mean, it's like, not that we would actually cancel the pop or stop doing the pop, but if the pop allowed us to rediscover Carp Girl, it would be like, all right, we're there. Like, if nothing else, we accomplished this.
It feels like it's going to happen someday in the same way that I just ran into the Bigfoot the other week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where we'll just be like at a party or somewhere. For like a kid's birthday party, and you know, we'll be talking, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, when I was a little girl, I fell into like a pit of carp, like at the lake. Like I just fell in at like physics camp, and I'm gonna be like, what? What? Ben?
You get here right now.
Get here right now. I found her.
I'd be there, and I'd be there lickety split. Even more best case scenario would be doing being on like Through the Griffin Tour and having somebody come through the line and be like, you know, be like, hey, how are you? It's nice to meet you. Like, you know, doing like the normal stuff. Like, by the way, I'm Carp Girl. And I'd be like,
no.
I would be so stoked.
I'd be stoked.
Nothing would be better.
That'd be better. Do you think you'd recognize her? Do you know what she looks like?
She was a blonde girl.
A blonde girl. Okay.
Which eliminates a percentage of the populace.
A blonde girl who probably grew up in like the Franklin County area.
Of Virginia.
Yeah.
So this is, I think, like circa like the year 1999.
Okay.
So
sure.
Yeah, maybe 2000.
Maybe.
Certainly not 97 though.
No. You don't know? Do you know that for a fact, or you
No, I'm just riffing.
Okay.
Yeah, it could have been 97, but probably not. More likely 98, 99, or 2000.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So maybe one day.
One day, Carp Girl will be found.
You can only hope.
I know. I seriously hope we find her someday.
I know.
What a legend.
That'll just be like that whole episode. We just found Carp Girl.
I know. We found Carp Girl.
Would we bring her on as a special guest?
Absolutely.
I would love to hear her half of the story.
I know. Like I love, like in our minds, this event like defined the rest of her life. You know?
Yes, exactly.
Like, tell us what happened after that day. It's just like, I don't know. I went back to school and was a regular kid.
Right.
And like, but what about the fish, Carp Girl?
What about the fish? Did you
feel like, my name's Michelle.
No, it's not.
Not anymore.
Carp Girl.
No way.
I know you a certain way, and I'm sorry, but I will be sticking to it.
Sticking to Carp Girl.
That would be so interesting if we brought her on and did not introduce her, just referred to her exclusively as Carp Girl.
Yeah, still no one knows her name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That'd be good. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So, okay. Okay. So, we had fishing. We had skiing. What else happened on our adventurous week?
I mean, you did a bunch of tricks and stuff.
We did do a bunch of tricks.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
What else did we do on our trip? We ate a bunch of ice cream. We drank a lot of libations. We had some jug.
Yes. 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 We did. Man, I will tell you. Okay. So, this was something that I was like, this could come across as arrogant. Like, I feel like I've thought this thought over the past week, and then I'm like, you can't say that. And it's like, now it's like, well, anyway, I guess I'm going to anyway. But like, it's like, I am not an artistic person.
Okay.
Like I can't really draw. I've never been like much of like a musician of sorts. I can't sing, you know, none of those types of things. But like, I couldn't help but feel like this past week's trip was almost like my own version of like a work of art, because it was like all of the like the planning and all the decision making and all of like the small little like things that I have been like attempting to accumulate for so many years, like the floats, the stand up paddle boards, the boat, the water skis, the tubes, the ropes, the fishing poles, like, you know, finding the house on, you know, the rental thing, getting like the family down there. We had a photographer come and family portraits while we were there, which was really cool. Like, I was like, I feel like so much, like at one point in time, I think looked at me, because like we had like all of like my inflatable toys out in the water, and he's like, Ben, why do you buy so much stuff? And I was like, I don't buy that much stuff. I just buy a lot of this stuff, and it's all here right now. And that was actually that question from Luke that made me realize that I was like, this is literally like all of the, like, everywhere I've put disposable income or like, you know, my recreational energies, it's all here.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, This is my.
You're like a lake person.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, man.
Born to lake.
Mm-hmm. I know. We got to find a way to be on the lake more.
I know. I know. We absolutely do.
We'll get there eventually.
You got a boat, so it's just a matter of getting down there, I suppose.
We pretty much do it every weekend.
Pretty much anytime we can.
We're doing the best we possibly can.
So there is. I will tell you. So speaking of disposable income and working towards a thing.
Okay, what you got?
I can tell you that unlike your situation where everything's come together nicely into this wonderful point, I've got my garden at the house, which I've of course been putting so much time and energy into over the past several months, like out there weeding, out there watering every day, pruning, getting into plant talk, doing all the things.
No, it shows.
Slowly watching the progress come up, hauling 40 pounds, you know, for 40 plus 40 pounds of dirt, you know, mulching, doing all the things. And it has been so rewarding for so much of it to look out there every day and like literally reap what you sow.
Yes. Hey, that's like, where that phrase comes from.
That's where it comes from.
How about that?
And then to have some stupid deer come in and ruin months of work in like a matter of minutes is the worst feeling, Ben.
You talking about Danny Ocean?
I'm talking about Danny Ocean. Call him what you want. Bazooka Jack. Oh my gosh. It's so annoying.
I know.
So annoying.
It honestly was really, like, it's not funny. It's not. But there was something kind of hilarious about the fact that like where we were down at the lake, there were like many, many, many deer everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, something like, you know, we'd like finish dinner and like go on like an after dinner like walk or whatever and like see the deer. And like, you know, Addie would be like, hi, deer. Like she liked to like wave at them and she wanted to touch them, which I had to explain to her she couldn't do. But then I feel like on the flip side, I feel like every time you saw the deer, it's like I could see like the steam coming out of your ear and like you're like clenching your fists and it's like, the deer are in the yard. It's like, Jay, it's not even your yard. It's like, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
They represent all deer and that deer like, includes Danny Ocean.
In you know, historically, if you see, like, I will say at one point we were driving and they're like in the yard near the house, there were 5 bucks all together. And I was like, this is pretty cool. This is a rare sight. I feel like I've never seen so many antlered deer in the wild together so close to me.
Just hanging.
Just hanging. Well, it seemed like four of them were working pretty hard to get the fifth one out of there.
Yeah, must be high school.
Yeah, I know. I was high like, there's some. Deer. I'm watching some deer politics happen. That one is that they don't like that one. They want him gone, and he's like, I'm coming. I'm hanging out with you guys.
That one's the skater boy, though.
Yeah,
that
right.
That Avril Lavigne will end up with one day.
Exactly. That was probably Bambi.
Yeah.
The other ones are like, get out of here, Bambi. Yeah. He's like, I'm the prince of the forest, man. Yeah. He's like, whatever. Okay.
Man. Yeah. Great Bambi joke.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, so you've anyway. got like all of your hard work that is now being like devastated in such short time.
Such short time period. Yeah. It's so annoying. Yeah. It's like it has recontextualized deer from being these like kind of nice looking creatures or sort of like cool to see one to being like, they're just bigger rats. You know, they're just giant. They're just huge vermin, basically.
So do you think of, like, does this sort of make you think, like Peter Pettigrew, James Potter, basically
You
the
know
same.
What? I see why they were hanging out, because they're not that different.
Not that different.
Not that different at the end of the day, you know what I mean?
We're giving way too much credit to one of these.
Way too much credit. And it's James Potter. No.
Dang.
No, but it's. I set up my little sonic emitters, and they seem like they're... keeping the deer at bay.
Okay.
At
okay.
The moment.
So they're not eating any more of your crops.
Yeah. Not going any so far. I will say I've also got my sunflowers are all but gone. Okay. Although it did come back and there was one. There are like basically two left, and one of them had blossomed finally.
Oh,
finally. What a welcome sight when I came home to this just big yellow flower in my front yard. I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
That's great.
But then, and this is like I shudder. I'm afraid to say it out loud, but like the other one, the one that hasn't blossomed yet, it is like taller than the roof of the house.
Oh my gosh.
At least the first floor. You
Goliath
know?
Flower.
It is massive. And as I left this morning, I could see the yellow. I could see it beginning to open up.
Yeah.
And so I'm so excited about that one because not only is the one at the top opening up, but down the rest of the plant, there are as many as 9 other bulbs on it that stand to open into flowers as well.
Wow.
And I'm like, I might have lost like 10 other flowers, but they are possibly all going to live on in this one massive one.
On those days, you lost the battle, but you ultimately won the war.
And I'm like, if something happens to my final flower, I'm going to be so mad, Ben. I'm going to be so mad. I'm so happy with it right now.
I'm worried. I'm like the war path that we'll follow if this flower goes down.
This is,
People of your neighborhood would be like, there used to be rabbits everywhere.
Yeah.
And Jay's like, well,
you know what? So you know how sometimes people fish with fishing rods and sometimes they fish with nets? You know?
This was a net situation.
This was a net situation.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So
we got that. But I feel like I've done some damage control, at least in the garden as well.
Okay.
My cucumbers are pretty much gone. They don't, the leaves are gone. They don't really recover.
Yeah. Plants usually need their leaves.
They
to
need
grow.
The leaves because that's like, they're like solar panels, basically. Right. You know?
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Literally.
So those, I pulled up the dead ones. I went out yesterday. I didn't like doing it, but I had to buy some that were like pre-started.
Ugh,
I know. I had to put those in there. But better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
So I got to ask you a question if we just roll back for a second.
Because
I was telling Alice a little bit about this yesterday because she's heard your affinity for the sunflowers. And she was like, what is it about the sunflowers? And I was like, I don't know. But even when we lived together back in the house that we started Super Carlin Brothers in, we also planted huge sunflowers next to our door.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious, at what point in time did sunflowers start to become a thing for you?
Boy, I don't know. I'm not really sure.
But you like them.
I do like sunflowers.
I mean, you, like genuinely you seem to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're cool. They're big.
They're are fun. Big.
I mean, I don't think even this year I wasn't trying to grow the big ones. I specifically didn't. There was like mammoth sunflower, and then there was the ones next to it that I bought that were specifically not mammoth sunflowers. But apparently,
you tended to them
I'm
too
not
well.
Sure. I'm not sure if it's a matter if by mammoth they mean the size of the flower, not the height it gets or something. I thought these were only going to be like 2 or 3 feet, but no, they're big.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if up on top was like maybe I'm trying to think of something that would be like a good basis for comparison, like a 5-inch sunflower on top of like a 12-foot tall plant. Like like a little tiny small flower up on top of this huge root.
Right. Yeah.
Like it'd be so comical.
Yeah. That would be very funny.
Rather disproportionate.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Like the underground system is massive. Tiny little fruit.
Tiny little fruit.
Tiny little guy right there. yeah, I've got that going. So that's good. I painted some hydrangeas last night.
You painted them or planted them?
Planted them. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. That. So hopefully those will flourish.
Okay.
As well. And my lettuce and tomatoes, they will grow back. I'm confident.
Okay.
It's a matter of time. It's been a setback, but we'll get there.
I don't think you need to restart your vlog. I think you need to start your own gardening
video. It's just my own garden videos.
Yeah, your own gardening videos. so that we can all just be tuned in to
what's happening.
What's he planting update this week?
This is the thing, too. It's like, but part of me is like, I feel like it's a slippery slope because I'm only growing like four crops at like a kind of small section of my yard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not like living off the food or anything. It's just like fun to do.
Right.
It's just fun to do. Part of me is like, how much more could I do? How much more could I do? You know, could I get bigger? Can I do more? I don't know.
You should watch the song in Encanto called "What Else Can I Do?"
Yeah, what else can I do? Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. Exactly. because oldest sibling energy in that song.
I was gonna say, yeah. Because she asked that question and she took it places.
She took it places. Yeah, she did a lot of things. Yeah.
Isabella.
This is the thing. It's like I can't. It's like the I can't like. I'd like need a more definitive answer to the deer is the problem.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Like I can't put that many eggs in this basket if it can all be ruined in 1 minute.
Don't start getting chickens now. I mean, that's a completely different, that was an eggs reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, chickens are good for gardens.
Oh, okay.
You know,
do they scare away the deer?
I don't know if they scare away the deer, but they like will eat like bugs and like, you know, their poop is good for it and stuff. So.
All right.
Plus then you get eggs.
Jay starts homesteading out of his suburban neighborhood.
I know. You're like, how are you doing this? And you're like, let me, I'm glad you asked.
Ask me about my compost. part of me wants to make that shirt way more than I should.
For this show.
Yeah. Yesterday I spent the whole day like renovating my little like strip of land where I grow my crops, and that involved loading up a huge compost heap, and the whole time I was just like, ask me about my compost.
Ask me about my compost.
I have so much of it.
Well, I'll tell you about my compost. Bana's got a ton of mealworms in it right now.
Hey, you got worms?
I got worms.
Good for you, man.
I know. I was like, now I was pretty sure it was a good thing, and I looked it up, and it's like it is. It probably means I need to add more brown stuff to dry because they're probably thriving because of the moisture in there.
Yeah.
It probably means I've got too much moisture, so I was like, I gotta add extra leaves in here. But in the meantime, it's like. Like the worms will just break stuff down too. So also good.
You could always buy a lizard to go with your chickens to eat your mealworms.
No, the mealworms are good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just thought it'd be like a fun thing to do. I used to sell mealworms by the handful back in my Petland days.
Right.
Yeah.
To feed to lizards.
To feed to lizards and other small animals.
Luke
and such.
Wants a lizard.
Does he really?
He does.
Okay.
Because we can't have like dogs and cats, and he's like, he knows that, but he's like quickly reasoned out like there's other pets I could get.
There are other pets. There are options.
There are other options. So he was telling our dad this. He was like, I just want a lizard. And our dad was so excited. He's like, you want a reptile?
I know, literally, like all of like our vendor software that we can use to like order like saltwater aquarium stuff. They also have like a reptiles tab that I've never gotten the opportunity to like click and peruse before.
Man.
So it's like, I'm like, oh my gosh, are we about to look at some bearded dragons?
That seems like probably the coolest one.
Oh, it is so cool.
Yeah, right. Because like, I'm not sure. Like, I want like a snake in the house or something.
Yeah.
I don't like want like a frog. I mean, like turtle seems okay, but they're like, what are they gonna do? They're not that cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want anything that's gonna be like too fast or too slow.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But like bearded dragon, it's like, you know what? Pretty slow, but also in the meantime, looks awesome.
Looks super cool.
He is a dragon.
Have you ever seen the movie Holes? Because that's what they used.
That's what they used, exactly.
Bearded dragons. Yeah. They're really cool looking. Anyway, okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about that off cam. Because I feel like, you know, Luke's birthday, November, you know, it's not that far off now.
Not that far off. You know, look, you're going to have to really clear it with Beth.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. I'm not about to deliver a pet to someone's home without clearance, but.
Yeah, that's what Beth was saying to our dad. She's like, you can keep it at your house and we can come visit it.
Yeah. Right, yeah, don't tempt dad either. Dad's like, I'm getting a lizard.
I can hear mom now. Like, wait a minute, nope, no.
Yes, I know, yeah, all dad needed was the justification. It's for the grandkids.
It's for the kids.
Yeah. I already ordered it.
It'll be there when we get back.
Oh, it's going to be so great. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in as per always. If you got any feedback for the pop, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture. We got that after the final pop tier there. If you want a little extra action after each week's episode for me and Jay just chatting a bit more, we usually either delve into something we didn't get into the main episode or into something just brand new entirely.
Yeah.
It should be good. Should be good stuff. Again, patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
More pop, pop. Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishawn Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager. And the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin. Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations. So if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you. And we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com. Through the Gryffindor is brought to you by the Potterless Podcast. Y'all know that we've read and reread this saga so many times, but if you've ever wanted to relive the experience of reading Harry Potter for the first time, then you should listen to Potterless. Potterless is a comedic podcast that follows the journey of Mike Schubert, a grown man reading the Harry Potter series for the very first time and chatting about it with various Harry Potter superfans, including, wait a second, is this the Super Carlin Brothers? Hey, that's us. Each episode features Mike pointing out plot holes, making often incorrect predictions, just wait for Ludo Bagman to come up, and basking in the glory of sassy characters. Speaking of basking in the glory, though, Mike himself is just a pure delight of a human being. We've had the opportunity to work with him on so many different occasions, including here on Through the Gryffindor. You must give him a listen. You will not be disappointed. Potterless has over 200 episodes that you can listen to right now, from discussions of the books to the movies to fan-made content, all of which brings such a brand new perspective to the wizarding world. Listen now by searching for Potterless wherever you get your podcasts or by going to potterlesspodcast.com. Okay, guys, we have a very quick and special announcement for you.
Yes, we are finally launching a Patreon for Through the Gryffindor.
It is going to be patreon.com/throughthegryffindor, and we know that you guys have been enjoying the show, but maybe one thing you don't enjoy so much is the ads. So at our $5 tier, the dark detectors will be unlocked, and you will be able to enjoy ad-free listening.
Yes, and then at $10, we're going to have the Owlry, where each week we will make a little bonus episode for you guys here on the Patreon, where we're answering your questions.
Yes, and as another special offer for the launch of the Patreon, we are also going to be doing something very cool. If you sign up for an annual membership for either tier, we are going to send you a page from Jay and I's copies of the books, completely marked up with highlighter, notes, handwritten scribbles, all sorts of really cool things.
Yes, so that is live now. There is a link in the description. Patreon.com/throughthegryffindor. Thank you so much in advance for your support.